afternoon, and welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. And you know, times like this, it's so unfortunate that we are on radio, because watching Bill try to get the headphones on his head.
It got tangled up. I'm sorry.
Just fun for everybody. Well, the
5 minutes and we still can't get it right.
I know. he got them all hooked up. Anyway, we're back again. We're chatting with Joe Gazzardi. He's the National Media Director for Californians for Population Stabilization, or CAPS, and their website is capsweb.org, before I forget again. And Bill has a brief commercial break.
Yes.
Hit it, Bill.
Well, Powerhouse Solar is our sponsor this hour. Powerhouse Solar is here in Redding, California, and they do all kinds of solar. Been here since 81, I think.
2003.
I keep saying 81.
That's my favorite part.
I know it.
I love doing this every week we do. There's somebody at home got 2003.
Yeah, well, it's 2003, they're all about solar. So talk to Bruce and Sue over there.
Their phone number is
530-275-6500.
Okay, I can't get the phone number. You can't get the year. Okay, do it again. So try.
Well, you know what's easier is just go to powerhousesolar.com.
Oh, nice.
And you'll read all about them there.
And if you'd like us to butcher your advertisement, please feel free to
We'll do it for pennies
call.
On the dollar.
Yeah, please feel free
Not
to call.
A problem.
We love
yeah,
sponsors.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, big thank you to Powerhouse
we
Solar.
We are lunatics. It's really hot today. That's our problem. We had a big we had a climate shift. We're having global warming today. All right. So our guest, Joe Gazzardi, if you missed the first hour, you can catch it again when we put up the archive here in about an hour. But he's the National Media Director for Californians for Population Stabilization, speaking out on the importance of limiting U.S. immigration through sensible federal policies. That's sort of a heavy lift right there. As an immigration expert with, and I've updated it, 30 years of experience, Joe has been interviewed on national TV and radio programs in major California markets, including NBC, CBS, and Fox affiliates. He's all over the place. And you can find him at Joe Gazzardi at capsweb.org. And the last name is spelled G-U-Z-Z-A-R-D-I, just in case. Just in case spelling counts.
Thank you for that, Aaron.
Yeah, well, it's good for people to be able to get a hold of you guys, and you have a lot of information on your website. The capsweb.org site is great.
We have got all of the immigration-related topics are fair game for us, whether it's refugees or E-Verify or DACA or President Trump's kind of mixed record in his first 100 days. We opine on it.
Yeah, and see, that's a good way to do it, you know, rather than this ideological, let's not talk about the things that we don't like and, you know, spin it hard the other way. That's always a mess.
Yeah.
So do you think that, you know, some of this, obviously he's going to be there for 4 years, you know, not 100 days. So do you think he'll go back at some of this? Do you think it just became unwieldy at the very beginning?
There's no question that it's probably culture shock for Donald Trump to get into the quagmire that is Washington, D.C. politics, certain to be unlike anything that he ever experienced in the corporate world, and he's probably stupefied by the resistance that he's getting from the Democrats on every single thing that he mentions, even in passing. I'm sure that he anticipated that he wasn't going to get much cooperation, but it's comical how the Democrats are so unified in their resistance to everything that he proposes or even suggests that he might propose. And frankly, if I were Chuck Schumer and we're looking ahead to 2018, and we're making as many public appearances on television as he does, I would say that he might want to consider ways to appear to be more cooperative, you know, because the voters that the Democrats need to reach in 2018 are moderates, fence-sitters, and Schumer is out there pushing an extremely to the left agenda.
Well, they all are, and I agree 100%.
Yeah,
I think
right,
it's going to backfire, I think, in the midterms. Folks are
no doubt about it.
People are just getting fed up with the no to everything, and you know it's funny because the Republicans were the party of no. Well, I got to tell you, you're right. Every single breath he takes, they argue about it with,
yeah.
And some of their arguments are ludicrous.
But some of their, well, besides the ludicrous, some of the arguments are exactly the opposite of what they used to say.
Oh,
they
absolutely.
Believe. That's the funny part.
Yeah.
I mean, they're right there on tape.
Saying the opposite 2 years ago, and now it's not okay.
But because everything is so crazy and there's so much of it, people believe a lot of it. It's extremely difficult to get factual information. You know, you read things that are kind of crazy and you think, that can't be real, can it? And some of it's real, some of it's not.
Yeah.
Well, no. Another interesting example that has parallels are the all of these pro-amnesty marches that the immigration advocacy groups put on. Now, tomorrow, May Day, there are going to be marches across the country of, you know, illegal immigrants and their lobby demanding amnesty and, you know, to stop breaking up families and all of those cliches that we're so familiar with. But again, you have people that in the United States that are on the fence about immigration. You know, they think on one hand, they say, well, good people come to the United States, want to work, raise families, better opportunities for their children. Okay. But then those same people also say, well, you know, they did come voluntarily. They do have free public education for their kids. They do get driver's licenses in a lot of states. They do get college subsidized tuition.
And in California, they're getting medical. They're getting medical insurance in California.
Yeah. So those people see people out in the streets raising banners and making demands, and they say, you know, that kind of turns me off. So that's why, you know, immigration reform, amnesties, and those kinds of things always seem like such a good idea on Capitol Hill. But when you get back to the local districts, to the local congressional districts, a lot of times these representatives get a rude awakening of just how unpopular types of legislation.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, don't get me wrong. It's not just the Democrats that I think are going to get an awakening. If I think if the Republicans don't get it together and start putting up a unified front here, it could be a real shocker for them as well in the midterms.
Yeah,
and it's
that is definitely a risk. I mean, they have to realize just what you're saying, Bill, that there's got to be some kind of a unified front, because otherwise then it's just complete gridlock, and that's maybe the thing that people are the most frustrated by, mm-hmm. is the inability to get anything
done.
Well, we're kind of at that weird point, because in the Senate, we've changed two big precedents. You know, you only need now a simple majority to confirm a Supreme Court justice and to mm-hmm. appoint a cabinet member, and it used to be 60. So now we're looking at the precedent is legislation requires 60 to move it to a vote. And I don't know, do we drop that to a simple majority? If we do, then a lot of stuff could get done.
Well, I think
but
you
boy,
do because
it's scary.
If
place.
The administration turns again in 4 years,
yeah.
they're going to change it back and go with a simple majority. So, what difference does it make? I just think they need to start. It's like his cabinet picks.
Need some points on the board.
Yeah, he needs to get some folks in positions to start getting some of these departments straightened out and get some work done.
Well, you have all the. You know, he's the captain of the good ship bureaucracy right now.
Mm-hmm.
And man,
and he's just getting shut down.
Well,
did
I read that he has only got some infinitesimally small percentage of appointees?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like 20 some appointees out of 1,100.
I think it's 1,200 plus.
1,200 plus.
Well,
that need
interestingly
to get appointed.
Enough, I was speaking with someone last week, and they said that the people left over from the Obama administration are running full tilt. And in the last 5 years, they have increase the number of bureaucrats in the Forest Service at the Washington, D.C., end, not on the ground out here, but in Washington, D.C. They have 5 times more employees than they used to have 5 years ago.
Wow.
So,
no, I'm not really
the trees
sure
must really be growing.
That.
They're making like a kingdom back there.
They have all these Obama holdovers. Why can't they get rid of them? Certainly, it can't be that hard to find 1,000 people in the United States that would be on board with President Trump that have at least fundamentally the qualifications.
I don't think it's the concept.
I mean, when you start looking at it, if you're the new secretary of whatever, I mean, you just got there to go through and figure out who knows what they're doing, who doesn't, who's good, who's bad, and who you can trust more than, I guess I should put that at the top of the list.
I mean, wouldn't the automatic assumption be that if you're an Obama holdover, you're a person that the new guy doesn't want around?
But see, not really, because now shift over to VA. And Secretary Shulkin was the number two under McDonald in the Obama administration. But Shulkin is a great guy. All the whistleblowers that I've dealt with over the years, they love that guy. He's a get-it-done guy who brings in people who actually want to make change. He brought up as his number two a guy that was also in the Obama administration, came from private industry. And these guys are doing a great job. So you look at it and it's like, well, it's not an automatic criteria, you know?
Yeah, I see that.
It really complicates
things. It's tricky. And then, too, you know, it'd be like if you bought a new business. I mean, we all know this in private industry. If you bought a new business, you can't just run in and fire all the old employees because, like, they actually know how to do stuff. You know, you still have
to... Yeah, I see that point. Maybe I was thinking more along the lines of anybody in the administration, anybody from the Obama administration... dealing with immigration issues.
Clean
it out.
It's interesting, though. I mean, you really have to figure out. The name of the game right now is who your friends are, who's informed, who's not, you know, who's an ideologue, and who actually wants to get things
that's
done.
That's where a lot of these leaks are coming from, is all these embedded holdovers.
Making that change is...
Yeah, it's daunting.
Taking time. So I think we'll see a lot of things happen in the future, but in the meantime, it's interesting. I was listening the other night on my way to a meeting, and they had said that the last administration was just, if you looked at overall media, 89% of the media coverage of Obama was favorable, and they finished doing like the calculations, and they said it's kind of spooky, but 89% of the Trump coverage is negative.
Yeah,
I saw that same analysis.
Did you see that?
Well, of course, that doesn't help. That doesn't help Trump either, except among the people that make up his base. Everybody knows that the media is predetermined against him. And it's interesting because immediately after the election, the big media guns, I'm thinking specifically of the New York Times, said, oh, you know, we missed this so badly, we promise now going forward to do more thoughtful analysis, and if anything,
it's worse
after his election than it was before.
That's a great point, because it's the same folks that predicted, Hillary was going to win by a landslide. were totally wrong,
and now
these same folks are still right in the media. So do you trust them? I mean, do you think they're going to, you know, they're telling you the truth?
Absolutely not.
I mean, that's the problem. And that's all people hear. So when they hear that, oh, Trump's failing and he's not getting anything done, well, you know what? Not necessarily true. That's just what they want you to believe.
Right.
So it's very confusing. Very confusing right now.
Very tricky. Well, what you guys at CAPS, sorry, we have to take a quick break. That's why we had to come on a new topic. We were at that point where we had to shift.
Yeah.
So when we come back, we'll talk about whatever you want.
Yeah, we'll talk about the wall, too.
What about?
Where is it?
Bill. See if we can keep the headphones on Bill during the break, and that'll be my greatest lift of the day. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. Twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's
was a time when strangers were welcome here. Music would play, they tell me the days were sweet and clear. It was a sweeter tune, and there was so much room.
I just saw a unicorn run by.
Is that a rainbow?
No. Oh, look at the puppy.
So I guess when we felt like we had lots of room, we didn't care how many people showed up, but now we do?
Yeah.
Does that have any validity, Joe? bring us back. We gave ourselves diabetes. The sweetness of that song was overwhelming.
Oh, yeah, you guys always have great music on the break.
Hey, so Bob. Joe, talk to me about the wall. You think they'll ever do anything there?
The wall is going to be tough for President Trump. There's a lot of ingrained resistance among Republicans, as we were just saying, and certainly unanimous resistance among Democrats, and you're going to have California environmental groups chiming in against it. So it's going to be a tough sell, and that's another reason why I think that Trump should get back to the things that he can do that are more easily attainable and more easily done. You know, we talked a little before about E-Verify and DACA, but just identify things that can be done. The wall's going to be a tough sell for him. Now, he probably put himself in a bad place by making it such a cornerstone of his campaign. It certainly was a reason that a lot of people voted for him. I mean, let's face it, Trump got elected on his immigration platform, not really so much on repeal and replace Obamacare and not so much on his foreign policy views, but really because people, not just people in border states, but people across the United States want to see a more common sense approach to immigration, and we just don't see that.
Well, I think they also want to feel a little safer with all the folks coming in, and I think he's tried to do that. But
well, see, but that's where Jeff Sessions comes in, though.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, we finally have somebody in the big chair of Law and Order who actually cares about Law and Order.
But I don't think he was counting on all these judges blocking everything he's tried to do.
Judges have previously established history of ruling against the law. I mean, the refugee ban or temporary pause, whatever you want to call it, that's very clear that the president has the authority to do that. Sanctuary cities, the same thing. And those two, I suspect, will eventually end up in the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And I anticipate that there'll be wins for President Trump. But what I would do in the meantime, and this is easily done, I believe, just Trump can call in the Department of Homeland Security Chief John Kelly and say, look, I don't know how many ICE agents you normally send to San Francisco, but I'm going to ask you to please double or triple the number of agents that you send into there to, you know, just say, okay, look, there are things that we can do that are going to reinforce our commitment to immigration law and see what happens.
Do you think, I don't think that's a bad idea, but could San Francisco really do anything about that if a bunch of ICE agents all of a sudden?
Well, I don't know how. I mean, first of all, the consequences of that for Trump are really zero. He can't be more maligned
right
in California and in San Francisco than he already is.
No.
You've got the president of the Senate, Kevin De Leon, the California Senate, calling him of white supremacist.
Yeah. The guy that admitted his family came here illegally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all stole other people's identities.
And the guy who said, you know, really, if it weren't for identity theft, my family wouldn't have been able to stay here.
There's a lawmaker.
Yeah, but he said, it's just what you have to do.
Yeah.
It's just how the cookie crumbles.
Yeah, don't worry about the law. We just got to break it, and then we'll move on. I would
recommend that just more vigorous enforcement. And that all brings us to the question of where is California going to go with the sanctuary state bill, which I guess is, it's already passed the Senate, I forget what they call it, the California Values Act or something like that. The bill that would theoretically block ICE from any area of California, schools, hospitals, all of it. So what's going to happen if it passes the assembly and gets to Jerry Brown's desk? Does he sign it or does he not sign it?
Yeah, because you're drawing some pretty heavy battle lines at that point.
What do you guys think he'll do?
Bill, you go first.
I think he'll sign. Jerry Brown, I think he'll sign it in a heartbeat. He just isn't a guy that's really got much use for the federal government, unless, of course, he has a broken dam or something he needs money for. But no, I think he'll sign it. He has. I mean, look what he did with the gas tax, the vehicle registration.
My sense of it is that it's probable that he would sign it, but I don't think it's by any means a slam dunk. I mean, he's trying to lean on Donald Trump for, what is it, $100 billion for infrastructure repairs?
Mm-hmm.
So he, on the one hand, he went to Trump for money for the Oroville Dam, and he got it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trump accommodated him on that. And now he wants $100 billion for infrastructure repairs. And is it possible that he would be so defiant as to say, look, I'll take your money, but you can take your politics and, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, I'd almost wager money that he will. He's got, yeah, he's...
Well,
not squaring ahead.
They're not letting go of the drought because they don't. Yeah. You know, I mean, they're still talking about drought. Good grief.
Yeah. I don't know. There would be ways that Jerry Brown could explain away a veto. I mean, first of all, he could say, look, you've already basically got a sanctuary state here. You've got the Trust Act. And last year.
What's the Trust Act?
John Culbertson, the chairman of the U.S. House Appropriations Committee, met with Loretta Lynch, you know, to talk about these sanctuaries and what needs to be done and who's in violation and who isn't. They agreed, Lynch agreed with Culbertson, that California was already a sanctuary state because of its existing policies. So Brown could say, if he wanted to, if he felt any need to defend himself, and why, when you think about it, why would he really feel a need to defend himself? He's a lame duck. He's already given California's illegal immigrants everything there is to give them. So just say, look, you've got the Trust Act. We need to cooperate with the federal government because we're trying to get $100 billion for them so that you can have better roads and safer bridges and dams that hold up. You know, he could do it.
Mm. God, yeah, how depressing. And I'm kind of curious, you know, I mean, California's always the, you know, leading the way toward the big deep hole, but are there any other states that are this screwed up? I think New York's probably trying to get in.
Yeah, New York is in really a really bad way. You know, they have Bill de Blasio there as the mayor, and they have an extremely liberal governor, Cuomo. Now, you know, de Blasio created a municipal ID card for New York City's illegal immigrants. And, of course, to get the card, they had to fill out certain information on their forms. And now de Blasio, kind of afraid of Trump and deportations and ICE, is ordering that all of the information, that all of those forms be destroyed. You know, clearly a violation mm-hmm. of federal law to destroy public records. So is New York as far gone as California? I mean, I don't know. The way I look at California always is, okay, we've got roughly 40 million residents in California, approximately. And there are approximately 3 million illegal immigrants in California. So the ratio of citizens to illegal immigrants is like 13 to 1. You know, you've got 40 million residents in total. 36 of them are citizens. 3 million of them are illegal aliens. Ratio of 13 to 1 citizens to illegal aliens. Yet all of the legislation, or much of the legislation that comes out of the Sacramento, is acts, bills that improve the lives of illegal immigrants. So how incomprehensible is that?
Totally incomprehensible. I mean, and then you look at all the
prison. You would think. I mean, if you were just a casual observer, you know, and you read the Sacramento Bee, and
yeah, mental note: don't move there.
They keep electing these people.
Yeah, yeah, and for all those of you out there that think term limits are the answer, oh yeah, we already have that. This is literally being done by the voters to themselves. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about the voting thing, because we haven't hit on that yet. But with our motor voter laws and all that jazz, I'll be curious to see what your organization thinks. How much of this is being driven by illegal aliens at the polls? Hey, sure. We'll be right back with Joe Gazzardi. More stuff on immigration. It's not a super happy topic, but it is super important. So switch to decaf and we'll get through it.
Traveling far without a home, but not without a star. Free, only one will be free. We huddle close and hang on to a dream. On the boats and on the planes, they're coming to America, never looking back again. They're coming to America. Home, don't it seem so far away? We're traveling light today, in the eye of the storm, in the eye of the home, to a new and a shiny place. Make our bed and we'll say our grace. Freedom's light burning warm. Freedom's light burning warm.
So tonight, gotta leave the 9-to-5 up on the shelf. Just enjoy yourself. Groove. Let the madness and the music get to you. Life ain't so bad at all.
Make you live it off the wall.
Life ain't so bad at all.
Little wall song there for you.
Yeah.
Kind of snuck up on me. I didn't see that coming.
That could employ some people for a long time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, okay, Joe, with those stats, if one out of 13 in California is an illegal alien, but it seems like 99% of our policies are geared toward those folks, they're kind of taking the same tack that the LGBT guys have taken in California.
Oh yeah, if you listen to the media, you'd think if you live in California, you're either LGBT or illegal, because that's the only people that live here.
I mean, it is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's weird, and
on
although it's hard for us to admit it, I mean, these guys, the LGB guys and the illegal aliens, they've done a fantastic job of selling their agenda to the media. And, you know, we always say people, you know, my friends at Numbers USA and FAIR and Center for Immigration Studies, we're always saying, well, God, you know, how have they been so successful? And how can we at least begin to approach the success that we've had? Well, of course, it's hard when they've already been, when they've already sold out to the other side. But yes, yeah, that's the problem. I can't remember, I think I read this on the Public Policy of California, Public Policy Institute of California, but of possible voters in California, in other words, of those voters in California that are of age, only like half of them are registered to vote. And of those half that are registered to vote, only like 30% of them show up to vote. Now, I don't know, it's been a while since I read that, so maybe the numbers have changed a little bit. But basically, I think that somehow reflects one of California's big problems. You know, we know for a fact that not everybody in California is on board with Jerry Brown's agenda or with Kamala Harris's agenda or Dianne Feinstein's agenda. But is there a sense among the voters that, well, you know, what's the point really, since in the end it always works out for them and not for us?
Well, I think it really shows more than anything else who's the most active and the most organized and who's, you know, really pressing their point, because I think you got the populations in the big cities in California that are kind of steering the boat right now, or folks like Pelosi and Feinstein. I mean, right. They'd never get elected if you took that vote out of the cities. Yeah. They'd be
gone. That would never work.
Well, again, same kind of thing. There's, I forget now exactly what it is, but 55 or 56 counties in California, and the majority, a comfortable majority of them, are Republican, vote mm-hmm. Republican. But, you know, that's not L.A. County or San Francisco or San Jose, where all of the big Democratic votes are found. So It's hard.
Well, you start looking at things like, you know, the abuse of our tax dollars, and then they decided, well, you know, we are going to have to fix our roads, so, well, hey, we'll just have a gas tax.
Yeah, it's 25 cents a gallon or something.
No, 12 cents on the base tax, so they think they're going to get an extra $52 billion to cover the state's transportation needs.
Yeah, and
But there's already all sorts of stuff out there that they're already siphoning it off to do other things.
And don't forget the vehicle registration that went up $150 per vehicle in California that is now in effect.
Do you think there's any truth to the theory that the gas tax might also be in part anticipation of withheld funds from the federal government? You know,
sure.
Well,
they've pushed all these electric vehicles and done all these rebates and all this stuff. So,
well, they don't want to give up on their bullet train either. And it looks the federal funding on that is going to go away. And you know, I truly believe that when the well finally goes dry on the bullet train, they'll give up on it. But as long as there's money being pumped into it, they're going to keep siphoning that off, and a lot of people are going to get rich. But mark my words, that train will never roll down the rails. It just can't.
No, and it's been clear for years that it would never roll down the rails, right?
No.
I mean, this is.
But they keep spending money on
revelation.
It. No.
Pardon me?
They're still spending money, and they're still.
Oh, no, I know.
Buying property,
I mean,
and, you know,
money.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But they won't give up on the idea, because the folks that are getting paid to analyze and
sure.
You know, I mean, they're making millions of dollars off the taxpayers.
I'm going to put a link on the website. I was just looking up exactly what the gas tax was. Base excise tax is 18 cents a gallon. Price-based excise tax is currently set at 9.8 cents a gallon for a total rate of 27.5 1.8 cents.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Per
gallon. Our total tax now is
yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
In November of 27, the base excise tax will increase to 30 cents a gallon. And in July 2019, it'll reset to 17.3, supposedly. But by then, they'll think of something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And I'm sure that'll be reflected in the price of gas,
but
too.
Average revenue, $2.4 billion.
Yeah, just on gas.
And it goes through a whole bunch of other stuff. Where's the money going to go and all that? It's actually a pretty good – it's a pretty good article. And then I look at this and it's if we didn't have – all of these illegal aliens and paying for all the, you know, the Medicaid and all that stuff. Has your organization done any, you know, quick math on where we'd be now if we weren't spending that kind of money?
Well, we haven't done any quick math officially, but we have kind of ongoing math that shows that continuing to pour money into, for example, diversity programs at University of California, Berkeley, when the state is facing a $1.5 billion deficit by, what is it, mid-June or early July, and has the wall of debt $450 billion? I mean, it doesn't make a bit of sense to anybody at any education level. You just simply can't say, well, this is a good use of your money.
But this it's is always good sound,
you know,
fiscal policy.
Kind of thing. Well, you know, we realize short term it might seem to be something we can't afford, but over the long term it's going to pay off huge benefits because we'll have
really long term. like 200 years down the road, we'll be better off.
Yeah.
Yeah, this article is a California gas tax increase and how it benefits you.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put benefits you in quotes.
That must have been a San Francisco Chronicle story.
This is SACB.
Yeah, because, I mean, you look at, you know, with that kind of a deficit in what you say, June or July, $2 billion increase in gas tax isn't even going to crack that even or a point where you'd even notice it. Well, even, you know, $2 billion sounds like a lot of money.
So,
and it is, but
well, so let's just say that we popped in E-Verify at the federal level. Could California try to opt out of that? Is that possible?
No, it wouldn't be possible. I mean, if E-Verify is mandatory, if it's federal law, then California couldn't opt out of it. Although now that I'm thinking very quickly, I suppose it's possible that there could be some lawsuit, you know.
Oh, to stall it.
Unconstitutional or something like that. But if memory serves me correctly, Jerry Brown at one time was for E-Verify when he was, what were the jobs?
Before he was against it?
When he was Attorney General, maybe? I can't remember. But it's at some point, he was for it. And then, you know, once elected governor, I think California had it to some extent. Or maybe that was Secure Communities. I can't remember. But
well,
anyway, if it were a federal law, no, he could not opt out of it.
I was wondering about that because, you know, they're ignoring ICE and all the rest of it. And then, you know, it strikes me that if E-Verify were to be passed on a federal level, we'd be a hop, skip, and a jump from requiring driver's licenses to vote, you know, identification to vote.
Right. That's
a whole nother problem.
Yeah,
but, I mean,
that's craziness.
I would, if I were against having identification to vote, which I'm not, but if I were, the E-Verify thing would seem, you know, like a big chip out of my current wall that keeps verification out. That seems like that'd
you know,
be an easy thing to do.
Voter ID is very important, especially in light of some of these extremely close elections that have been held over the last several election cycles, you know, where people have only won by a very narrow
right.
percentage of votes. I mean, even, you know, even in the last election where Trump won by a thin margin in Wisconsin and Michigan and the third state, I can't remember, Pennsylvania,
yeah.
So, you know, it's logical to expect voters to have to identify themselves, but lack of logic seems to prevail on that argument as well. But even for the weakest kinds of reasons, you know, that it's racist to ask for ID. I mean, states have offer IDs for non-drivers, so what would stop a person who doesn't drive from going to DMV, from getting to DMV at some point during a calendar year and getting an ID card?
Exactly.
I mean, it's hard to argue.
Well, you can't buy, you know, beer, you can't rent a car. You
can't buy cigarettes in California without ID now.
Yeah.
No matter how old you are.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. No. No, you got to have an ID.
So you can pay all the, what, $4 extra per pack?
Yeah, a guy I work with bought 3 packs of cigarettes the other day. It was $25. He fell on the floor. It's like, wow.
Time to quit the cigarettes. All right, we're going to take a really quick break. Take a quick smoke break, huh?
Yeah, I'm smoking sitting
just
right
ahead,
here.
Just go ahead and roll up the money and smoke it. It's so much faster. You save a trip to the store, and you don't need a license for that. And it costs the same. We'll be back with our friend Joe Gazzardi. Finish up the hour on immigration. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
I'm cocaine, Casey Jones, you better watch your speed. Trouble ahead, trouble behind. And know that notion just crossed my mind.
So watch my lips, where were you born?
I was born in East L.A. Born in East L.A.
Oh, yeah, you're born in East L.A. Well, let's see your green card, huh?
Green card? I'm from East L.A.
All right, well, then who's president of the United States?
Oh, that's easy, man. That guy that used to be on Death Valley Days, John Wayne.
All right, let's go. Come on.
Ah, the good old days.
Remember we used to joke about that?
Yeah. Yeah, boy, Bob, you're kind of going on the racist deal.
That's
there.
Awesome,
that's
Bob.
Woo! Man. Cheech and Chong.
It's still funny all day.
Have we triggered you yet?
Yeah, all those people that were switching to decaf are like, woo!
Oh, dodge, man.
Dodged the bullet
there. I'd smoke them if I had them, but I can't afford it anymore.
Yeah, I was looking that up, too. Some brands of cigarettes are almost $10 a pack.
Yeah, I just like to have a pack a day habit.
I think in New York City, they're already at that level and have been for a while.
Yeah, yeah. New York's been a big... Well, that's
so racist.
Where that guy got clobbered for selling singles on the street, I think
oh,
they call
that's
it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, you're
going to
start seeing that in Lucy's, California.
They call them.
Oh, that's right. Lucy's. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, unbelievable.
For heaven's sakes.
Yeah. It's a thriving industry.
The madness. The madness. So,
well, I'm going to end on a high note.
Ooh, that's a lot of pressure.
I am confident that, you know, 100 days is really not enough time for Trump to settle in and to do the things that he wants to do on immigration. He's got a great right-hand man there in Jeff Sessions, and I expect that Sessions has got Trump's ear and that he's going to say, look, in the meantime, while we're waiting for all of these court cases to be resolved, we need to continue to step up enforcement, especially in areas like Long Island, where they have the MS-13 gang running crazy. And I think that Trump might change his mind on DACA. There's going to be a lot of people telling him that his base is extremely disappointed on the magnitude of that very major failure to convert a campaign promise into a reality.
Right.
So I'm looking for better things from Trump soon.
Well, I think you're right on target with Sessions too. I think he's going to not going to be very popular, but I think he definitely has the ability to turn it back into a country of laws, and we're going to start following the laws. And you can't.
I mean,
you can't argue with it.
If it's probably no longer available, but when he was an Alabama senator, on his website, he had these tremendous breakouts of facts and figures and what was actually going on immigration, whether it was border crossings or violations of immigration law in the interior. And he's certainly the most knowledgeable guy in Washington, D.C. on immigration from our perspective. So thankfully, Trump picked him to be attorney general and did not settle for, you know, what might have been perceived as a more politically correct choice.
Well, that's good to know. I didn't realize he had that much background in immigration. That's fantastic.
Yeah, he's been a long-standing ally of immigration enforcement, and you know, it would be great to see Chris Kobach, who's currently Secretary of State in Kansas, but another guy who's done a lot of work on the importance of enforcement. And you know, if nothing else, the border crossings are way, way down, and that's huge. And the signal that's being sent across the border and overseas is that immigration laws in the United States are now going to be enforced. So come at your own risk.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's, you know, obviously having a big impact, and will continue to have an impact. And he doesn't have to write any legislation. He just has to say it.
Yeah, just enforce the law in the books.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bill, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Brown does not sign that bill.
Okay, we're going to have you back on.
Nice. We got one for, one against.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Remember where you heard it.
I'll hold the money.
I would not be shocked if he did, but.
Yeah, yeah.
The madness. The madness has no limits. So let's see. Let's get your information back out there again. Joe is with Californians for Population Stabilization, CAPS, C-A-P-S. Their website is capsweb.org.
Thanks for coming on, Joe.
Thanks a million, Joe.
Thank you very much. It was really good fun to be with you guys. And even though the topic is dreary, being on your show is not. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we have to do dreary topics in a fun way. Otherwise, well, we're just like everybody
else.
Well,
we've got to have you back inside of a year. I mean, that was too long. So we'll have you back again.
There's going to be a lot going on. Please keep us posted, will you?
Oh, for sure.
All right.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks a million. You've been listening to We the People. You can find all the information about us at wethepeopleradio.us.